join in the fight. Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the right? Let's see you now. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Did you enjoy service here last night? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord?
Amen.
Oh, God is so good to us. He gives us spiritual food in due season every time we come. I'm glad for that, aren't you? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Sunday morning. Play it again. Sing that verse for me. They ain't but one, are they? Play it. Play the song, guys. Play it. Give me something. Give me something. It loves us still to death. Brother Amos, God bless you, buddy. Good to see you. side. How about you? You've got to take sides. You're either on one side or the other. You're either a believer or you're a non-believer. You're either a Christian or you're a sinner. There ain't no middle of the road. The world's full of middle of the road people. But you've got to take sides. I want to take sides with Jesus Christ. I want to take sides with what He's doing in the earth right now. Right now, we're in the midst of something great. Do you believe it with all your heart? Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of God. Glad to have you here. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests. Certainly want to continue to remember Brother Junior Davis in prayer, that the Lord would just be with Brother Junior. And I don't know, did he get home? Is anybody, I know he was trying to get back home, so we certainly want to pray that the Lord would just be with Brother Junior Davis. Please pray for Wilma Pitts, suffering from heart trouble. Also, Betty Ellswick, health problems, different health problems. Both need a healing touch. So let's remember that prayer request as we pray. Caitlin Jones sends this in to please pray for Holly Rutherford. She found out that she has a very rare form of cancer. She is 17 years old, and the family needs prayer. So we certainly want to pray for that need this morning, that the Lord would touch that young lady. May all be well with that family as we pray. Sister Janet Payne says to please pray for Ramona Wise and her dad, Tim Sanders, who's been in the hospital with breathing problems. So let's remember that prayer request as we pray today, that the Lord would be mindful of those. Brother Lewis, Laura sends this in. He wants to thank everyone for their prayers. Sister Linda's test came back negative. They want to praise the Lord for that. And her doctor, Kim Sims, wants us to pray for her husband who has a mass on his back. So we certainly want to remember, we thank the Lord for that good report. And Sister Linda's doctor, they've witnessed to her, and she believes in prayer. She's got confidence in you people as far as being able to get a prayer through to the Lord. So they're asking that we would pray for that doctor's husband, that the Lord would be mindful of his situation. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says, please continue to pray for Brother Mac's brother-in-law, Harold Figgs. He has cancer of the throat. Also for his salvation. Let's remember that prayer request as we pray. Sister Daisy Rice wants to thank everyone for the cards, the birthday wishes, and especially for all your prayers and concern. May God bless you all. So we certainly want to continue to pray for Sister Daisy Rice, that the Lord would just bring her along. Sister Phoebe Therese says to please pray for my friend Paula and her teenager. He is having aggressive behavior toward her and her husband. They ask for prayer from our church. They are not believers, but they're asking that we would remember them in prayer. Thank you for praying for this family. So let's pray for that young man and that family, that God would just help them. Brother Reese has a very special unspoken prayer request that he wants the church to pray about. Sister Sims says to please have prayer for my sister Ann in Hot Springs, Arkansas. She is having health issues, so we just commit that need unto the Lord today. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need today, how many of you know God can answer your prayers? Do you believe that with all your heart? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Rob, would you come this morning? Just lead us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this service. Commit all these requests unto the Lord. God bless you, buddy.
Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us together once again, Lord. Thank you for the fellowship of the saints. Thank you for the confidence that the world has in the bride, that we can come and get a prayer through, Lord. And for us to recognize that is a battle to get a prayer through. Lord God, I know that you hear us when we speak, Lord, but it could take time, and faith, Lord, has to manifest itself. The trial, Lord, being hard, but we're so thankful for it as it helps us to be patient, Lord, for what it is your perfect will is. I pray, Lord God, for our lives. I pray, Lord God, that we could get ourselves out of the way, that we could minister the word to us and we become Christ in flesh, Lord. I pray, help us to be obedient. Help us to go ahead and pray, Lord, and keep the course, run the race, fight forward, go forward. Why cry, but speak, Lord. Have us move forward into the promise. Help us manifest what it is you want us to do today. Help us to be able to receive from your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service, we pray the service will be a great blessing to them. I want to welcome a new member to our assembly, Sister Angela Houchin. That's the mother of Sister Sarah Yance. She has moved from Louisville, Kentucky. Where would you be this morning? Would you just right here? Sitting right here. Give her a nice hand this morning. Amen. Well, we want to welcome you here. This is her home church now. Is that right, Sister Sarah? Well, that's great. Brother Brad, you're tickled to death about that too, I'm sure. Well, praise the Lord. Brother Brad, give me a thumbs up. Amen. What else could he say? Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. I give the Lord another hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Amen. Let's sing that song, How Great Thou Art. Is he the greatest thing that ever got a hold of you? Is he really? I see about 35 hands. Is he the greatest thing that ever got a hold of you? Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Hallelujah. Let's sing her, buddy. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to
Thou art, how great I know you are.
preparing, sent him to die. I scarce can take it in
that on the cross.
Oh, yes,
my burden gladly bearing.
Thank you for paying the price.
He bled and died.
Hallelujah.
To take away my sin. It sings my soul. My Savior God to thee.
How great. Amen. Is he great? Does he reign? Is he still on the throne? Is he in your heart? Do you love him this morning? Give him one more hand clap of praise. Our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns.
He reigns.
Our God reigns.
Yes, he reigns.
Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say our God reigns. Give him one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated. We have a couple of songs this morning. Brother Fred, if you'd come and get ready to sing for us. Brother Jimmy King, if you'd come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing after Brother Fred. We'll go right on into the service. Give our singers a nice hand this morning as they come to sing. Bless you, baby.
Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime. It's coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through test of time. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Like a dove when hunted, frightened, like a wounded fawn was I. Broken-hearted, yet he healed me. He will heed the sinner's cry. He, the pearly gates, will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sins. Love divine, so great and wondrous, all my sin he then forgave. I will sing his praise forever, for his blood, his power to save. He, the pearly gates, will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. In life's eventide, at twilight, at your door, I'm gonna knock and wait. 'Cause it's by the precious love of Jesus I shall enter heaven's gate. Sing it with me. He, the pearly gate, will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my
sin. Try D.
Sometimes I get downhearted and fall to my knees to get an answer for my weary mind. I pray, dear Lord, help me. Lord, please walk this walk I cannot see. Jesus, live through me. Let my every move be what yours would be. Take my eyes and see. Take my ears that you might hear. Jesus, live through me. Jesus died for me. The blood fell to the ground. The life went out and came back on me. And now he lives within. It's no more that you might hear. Jesus, live through me. Now Jesus died for me. His blood fell to the ground.
the life that went out, it came back on me. And now he lives within. It's no more I, but him. The life of Christ is now living in me. Jesus, oh, live through me. Let my every move be what yours would be. Take my eyes and see. Take my ears that you might hear. Take my ears that you might hear. Jesus, live through me.
The Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate our specials this morning. Appreciate the people taking the time to give us a special. Is that right? You know, a lot of us, we'd just soon just go right on. But I appreciate the time that these people give to give us our special songs. I look at Brother Fred back there. You know, he's done been here a lot longer than he'll get to stay, if time lasts. But I appreciate the effort that he puts into a song. I really do, Brother Fred. I appreciate that. And you know what? A lot of us has been here longer than we're going to get to stay, if time lasts. But it's good to know we're going somewhere good, right? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let us help you sing a little bit of "The Dove Leads the Lamb." Will you help him? Somebody look at him and say, "I'll help you." All right.
You're not going to stand up there and help me?
I'm going to sit over here.
Everybody help me. We're singing an effort. I'm sure you know it. The Lord gave me this song a long time ago, and I'm glad I still believe the message that it
was. That's right. Amen, Brother Harry.
The Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. The elect being stirred inside their heart, 'cause our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's here. It's granted to her. She's washed in the blood of God's own Son. With a righteousness that's not our own, we're just before His throne, where she'll reign with her of her King.
been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads and led once again. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's still hearing the shout
Glory.
Of her King.
Thank you, Lord God.
The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside.
Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16 today, if you would. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. I believe we have a message that's getting us ready. Amen. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. I want to speak to you again today on evil spirits in flesh. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You know, the devil is very, very cunning. He's very, very cunning. This she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said, not to the woman, but to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now, if you've ever noticed it or not in reading the scripture, you probably have. But demons are never identified as far as being female. Because there are no female angels. God created all angels in the masculine in the way we would think of being masculine. And when her masters saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word. We so appreciate, Father, the opportunity that we could be gathered together here in this place. Lord Jesus, we're asking that you would anoint us with your presence. Father, I pray through the window to the supernatural, we would be able to look and peer into a realm that we would be enlightened with greater understanding of what we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Help us, Father, that we can be better prepared people, soldiers in the army of the living God. We certainly desire to achieve and accomplish that which you desire for our lives. Grant it, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. For the examples that we looked at last night in the scripture, demon possession certainly has a very broad spectrum in how that demons will come into people's bodies and inhabit them and try to accomplish certain things for the kingdom of darkness. We know that the angels of God, of course, do not actually inhabit human beings because God gives us the Holy Ghost, which is his own life. But Satan, since he don't have no Holy Ghost, he will actually send demons, personalities, and they will get inside of people's bodies. And while they're inside of their bodies, they will try to accomplish and achieve certain things that Satan needs done for his kingdom. Truly, whenever we look at the scripture and we can see the display of demonic power, to a human being, it's frightening, I guess, in one way. Well, I guess there's any way guessing about it. It is frightening. But whenever we look at it on the other hand and realize that the power of God is greater than the power of the devil, and know that for some, demons may move in the realm of physical realm, as we looked at last night, to where that they will have fits and foam and wallow on the ground and things like that. Others are like this young woman here with a spirit of divination. Now, this woman was actually a true medium in that she had an ability to be able to conjure up certain things and be able to do certain things. Now, demons cannot actually prophesy or foretell the future. They do have the ability to break into certain things if they have heard things that have been said, or if they know of things that God has allowed them to see. I'm reminded of Brother Branham talking about Richard Blair, that Richard Blair, Satan had tried to make Richard Blair doubt Brother Branham and doubt his gift and doubt that he was a man of God. And Richard Blair got in real, real trouble one time physically. And Brother Branham talks about it, that his wife had called him and said, "Brother Branham, Richard's really, really sick and he really needs prayer." And Brother Branham comments about it. He said that Satan knew that Brother Richard was going to need him, and so he tried to make him doubt before it ever come up. Now, how exactly Satan knew this was going to happen, I have no idea. But you can see why then that people would think that fortune tellers and diviners and all that have the ability to be able to see the future and forecast and foretell the future. It's not that they peer into that as if though prophets would, because we know that they are actually an impersonation of a prophet. So a witch or a diviner or a medium, that sort of thing, they're actually breaking into impersonate the realm of a prophet. Now, whether God will allow a certain understanding to Satan and he will let him see of future things, no doubt he does, because there was people that raised up before the days of the Lord Jesus, and they proclaimed to be messiahs and proclaimed to be this and that. Before Brother Ram came to the earth, there were certain men that raised up, claimed to be Elijah, claimed to be this and that. So Satan has at least a sense or a perception that certain events about the word are fixing to happen. And he will forerun those events of God by false ones, and it messes up the minds of the people. So I don't believe God sends him a daily review of what God's fixing to do and Satan catches up to date. But there must be a certain element of that, of time and season, that Satan has the ability to be able to see. But this woman here, she was able by demons. We know it was demons. And when someday, Lord willing, we'll try to get into it, that idolatry was actually a form of this in the Old Testament. Testament, to where that people would make an idol, and they really did not worship so much the calf or the image that the idol was, but they believed that that God would represent himself in the form of that idol. Actually, they could make certain things about that idol, even though it was standing there lifeless and no life at all, but there would be certain things that would happen around the presence of that idol. And it was demons, because demons had the ability to do certain things. Yet they would cast this illusion upon people to where they would think that it was this God. So if it was a God standing here this morning, and maybe he's an idol, but his eyes would seem to move, or maybe a finger would seem to move. And it was actually a demon that would be able to produce an illusion, and the people looking at that would see it, and they would say, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh Lord, oh God, oh God, that demon's eyes are watching me," when it was actually nothing but an illusion that had been manifested by a demon power. Remember, friends, these beings know exactly what they are doing. So, with this woman here, with this young girl, she was actually, the word here that if you look it up in the Greek, James, or Paul, Luke writing it rather than Acts 16:16 said, with the spirit of divination. So, she was actually possessed by a demon, but it was under the illusion of a diviner. But the word really is better to be a fortune teller, because the woman didn't really have the ability, okay, tomorrow you're going to go out in a chariot, it's going to run over your wheel, you're going to buy four bushels of taters, and three of them taters are going to be bad, and you're going to pick up four maters, and three of them is going to be bad. So she really couldn't do that, but it was a diviner by which she would tell things in the form of mystery. Now, demons know how to do this. They know how to raise questions in people's minds in order to bring things to confusion, and they also know how human beings are, that we have a peculiar, most of us by human makeup, we have a peculiar nature. So things that are peculiar, things that we would hear in the form of mystery, can be very intriguing to us. So they play on this. So look at this in verse 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, Now, I call your attention back to last night whenever, instance after instance, that these demons would cry out about the Lord Jesus and said that you're the Son of God and you're the Holy One and all of that. But yet you realize whenever demon spirits are doing this, they have a reason for doing it. Now watch how that she's following Paul. And Luke and those that are with him and Barnabas. And she followed Paul and us and cried saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Now when the father of lies is telling truth, when the father of lies is speaking things that are truth, you'll always remember he has a reason for saying that truth. He is not saying it for truth's sake. He's saying it for another reason. Now watch Satan. He's already learned in the ministry of the Lord Jesus that by being identified and by saying certain things, it can get you in trouble. So by now he's had a few years of experience since the apostolic church has been in movement now for several years. So he's found don't quite do it like he did in the days of the Lord Jesus. But this demon that was inside of her was now anointing her and she is saying the truth. She is saying that these men are men of God, and they are telling us the way of righteousness. They are telling us the truth. So what is this demon actually doing? Why is this demon now wanting to identify who these true men of God are? Now keep this in mind, that the father of lies, if he is speaking truth, he's not doing it for truth's sake. But watch what now he's wanting to do in a very underhanded type of way. Now remember, Paul was a prisoner, so the first day this happened, he could not get the release from the presence of God to cast the devil out of the girl. So it happened day after day after day. So it shows that the power of God, even for those who have it, is not at their disposal. Like you pick up a handkerchief, you pick up a Bible, and you just use it however you want it. That's not the way it works. You are anointed by the Spirit of God, sure, but there must be a season by which you have the permission of God to do what you are already anointed to do. Now, Paul was anointed to cast out devils, preach the word, do all kinds of things. But at this particular instance, he did not have the permission to do it the first day that it happened. Now, watch what happens here. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these are men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. So it seems as if, though, the girl has now attached herself to the ministry of these men. Listen carefully. She has now attached herself to the ministry of these great men. Now, they are men that have the authority to cast out devils. But apparently the devil recognizes that they do not have permission. So the devil in her feels comfortable enough to be able to hang around these men day after day after day. Now, what's his reason? He has a reason behind it. He has a reason that he has thought through. But of course, it's as if always God will lead the devil on and then he gets him in a trap. Amen. Now, watch. So she says, they show unto us the way of salvation. Now, her statements are true. Absolutely the truth. They are men of God. They're preaching the way of salvation. But if Satan can cause these men to now be identified under somebody that they know is demon possessed, then that will put an illusion before the people that these men of God are actually identified with a soothsayer. Watch him, how cunning he is now. Now here is somebody in their midst that most of them know. So they know that this girl, maybe some of these people have been to her themselves and had their fortune told. Maybe they had some divining going on. So they knew this woman did not claim to be a Christian. She was not of God, had no profession of God at all. So if Satan can identify these true men of God, that somehow they were associated in witchcraft, or with the KKK, or the DDD, or the whoever, then he'll try to associate himself with these men of God. Don't be foolish, children. Don't be ignorant. Look at the Bible and see what demons do.
Now you imagine that Satan, remember, he's had a few years now to where he could learn. So now he wants to approach it in a little bit different way. So he'll have one that everybody knows is full of the devil, demon possessed, and he will have this demon possessed person talking about these men. Now, you know, you and I might think, my, that's really something. That's really good. No, it's not good. Because what he wants to do is to identify these God-called men with a demon-possessed girl in order to give the illusion to the people that the work Paul and Barnabas and Luke and them are doing is actually demonic-inspired. Oh, my. Now, watch. But whenever, you know, the Spirit of God, he can always outwit the devil if we can just be sensitive and wait on him. So here Satan is now identifying through this slave girl. Well, she was a slave girl because her masters owned her. So this slave girl, here she is. She's now going around and finding out, you better hear this man. They're telling the truth. You better hear this man. I'll tell you, glory to God, you better hear this man. I wouldn't want no drunk packing a fifth of Jack Daniels around his hip pocket saying, you better listen to Donnie Reagan. Glory to God, he's a man of God. Just take your Jack Daniels and go get drunk and leave us alone. We don't need your advertisement. So when Satan is now doing this, notice what is happening. So the people, there must be an illusion to where the people are now identifying these men with this woman. So if she's demon possessed, anti-God, anti-word, anti-Christ, then if she's identifying these men as great men, there must be somehow a connection between her and them. Oh my. Look at verse 18. This did she many days. Many days. Now, day after day after day after day, she's finally, you better hear these men of God. They're telling the truth. So I'll tell you one thing. And then she'd take a break and go over and divine somebody. And then after a break, she'd come back. Glory to God, you better hear these men. I'll tell you one thing. And then when they'd take a lunch break, she'd go back over. Let me read the lines in your hands and where's the tea leaves and all, whatever more she'd do. And then you're the Satan that's saying, man, I am identifying them guys. Boy, am I pulling it over them. But one day God said, Paul, today. And as usual, poor old dumb devil, here he comes. You better hear these men of God. You better hear these men of God. This did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee. Three very simple words. This man had said it many times before, but he didn't have permission to say it until today. Today will prove there is no association between a diviner and true men of God. Now, if they were associated in the spirit world, then it would have been fruitless, for it would have put Satan fighting against Satan for two preachers, which are false prophets and Beelzebubs, to cast out another fellow devil, another associate devil, out of a fortune-telling girl. So casting out devils by the power of God is truly a sign that God is with us. Now watch, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. I imagine that day, he wished he hadn't went to church. There's days that demons like to go to church because they get on people and they cause problems and they cause attitudes. But I imagine there's days demons wish they'd have stayed in hell. I kind of hope today's one of them days. I hope that the devils that happened to come to church today, I hope they go back down to hell all crippled up and beat to death and pulled into the gates. And the devil said, what in the world happened to you? Another day at Happy Valley. Oh, devil, another day at Happy Valley. They kicked on me. They stomped me. They whipped me and then they cast me out. I said, that'd be a good meeting, wouldn't you all? Now watch. Satan's mad. Verse 19. When her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone. They called Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Now, they're not telling the truth. They're not saying my chariot payment, my horse payment, my donkey payment, and my whatever more payment's going to be late now because she lost her job. I ain't got no way to pay my bills. This slave girl, watch them. They're hiding behind the real truth. So they want to bring up false accusations against these men. Come on, children. The men that this was on is dead, but the spirits are alive and well. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. One simple, simple truth. If we disturb Satan, Satan will disturb us. If we hinder Satan, Satan will try to hinder us. And does God stop him in his retribution of vengeance and anger and wrath? He does not. Now these men, Paul namely, had cast out this devil out of this fortune teller, and yet doing so by the commission of God, doing exactly what the Spirit of God led him to do. You believe that? So he does that. He actually brings deliverance to this girl. The devil gets mad because now these mortal men have broken into a realm of understanding demonology. And if this goes on, can you imagine what this is going to be to the kingdom of hell? So Satan figures the best thing to do is to punish them severely, to be able to beat them, to be able to bring discomfort to the flesh and whatever more, and then they will back off and quit doing this. They won't do this anymore because the cross is too great. Oh, but he'd never quite dealt with a group like this before. You see, it was Jesus in multiplied form. The corn of wheat that was by itself at one time, it had brought forth in the lives of these men. But what does he do? Now notice how that there are certain ministries that seem to agitate hell more than others. Now you keep in mind that many preachers in this day, they are not enemies of hell. They are spokesmen for hell. This is why Satan will never fight them. You know, nearly every church, I'm sure, in this area around here, and there's hundreds of them, I'm sure that every church around you, no matter what denomination they are, what they believe, every one of them would definitely say the devil is against them. But most of the trouble that most of them have, it is not actually demonic trouble of Satan being against them. It's the demons and their people that can't get along with one another. That's their church trouble. It's not that hell actually comes against them and said, we hate that church, we hate that preacher, we've got to bring them down. There is no way that Satan wants to destroy the most of the churches that's around the Tri-Cities area. They are little outlets, they are little branches of hell itself. It's like a drive-through of, you know, whatever bank that you bank at, and they've got these little drive-through things, kiosk over here and over there and over there. That's the way many churches are to hell. They are a drive-through kiosk to the kingdom of hell. Oh my, you're getting quiet on me. Satan does not want to destroy them. He does not want to destroy their teaching because they are damning people to hell. But thank God there are some churches and some preachers and some people that all hell hates them. And Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can you imagine a lot of these coward pastors standing up on Sunday morning? You think they're going to preach against sin? You think they're going to tell people you need to quit doing this and quit doing that and quit doing that? Oh, they'll preach against us. They'll preach against, you know, all kinds of things that they don't know nothing about. But as far as really getting right down where their folks live, they ain't going to do it. Why? They'll be out Monday morning looking for a job. Because they'd get rid of them, and they know that, so they're not going to go that way. And what more can they do? I mean, that's the only thing they don't have to do. Some preachers, they can't do rock, they can't build cabinets, they can't do this, that, that's the only thing they're going to do is preach. So as the people go on in time, the standard must get lower and lower and lower and lower. If you folks go down and you decide you don't want the gospel preached no more, you know what that means. That means you're going to get rid of me. The majority of you, if you ever want to get to a spot, I'm sick and tired of hearing him, I don't want him preaching on this and preaching on that and preaching on that, then really I'm the minority. All you have to do is have a vote and get rid of me. But I'll tell you one thing, it'll stop me from preaching. But at the same time, in time, you will come to a spot, every person around the world in religious circles, it must compromise, because the morals of the world are compromising. It must go down, 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 down. So if a person's going to have a crowd and going to have a very much of an attendance, they got to do what the people want. So if the people want coffee in church, if they want donuts in church, my, you know what, Brother Louis would probably make a real living among some of these folks, because you could go to the church door and hand out Little Debbie's, and that'd be really what they'd want. They don't want no hard preaching. They don't want to preach a person and burn the hat off of them. But they'll take a little honey bun and a cup of coffee in the door as they come in. Because church, why? It's more social. It's more social. Don't you understand what it is? Church is becoming social. Everything is social, social, social. That's not what Jesus established his church to be. He established his church to be a place where the gospel is preached. Where we hear our faults preached, our shortcomings preached, and we come up to the altar and say, Lord, I'm wrong. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. But that's not the majority of what majority of folks want. So you folks are kind of weird anyway, I think. I mean, y'all come to church to be beat. Y'all come to church to hear your faults, service after service after service, and then you leave smiling like a possum and say, what in the world is the matter with you? I was told where I was wrong. I was told where I was wrong. I was told I had faults, and you're smiling about that? Yes, you know why? You are a resident of another country. You're hallelujah. You are a resident of another country. You want to know when you're wrong. The ministers who make the greatest trouble for hell will always be the ministers that hell will make the greatest trouble for them. There are men in this message, you'll never hear their name regarded as filth, off-scouring. You'll never hear them cursed. You'll never hear them cast out as evil. You know why? They're not making the devil mad. It's just the way it works. This here is scriptural proof. These men had upset the kingdom of hell, and God allowed the kingdom of hell to come against them. So here they strip off their clothes in a public place, and they beat them, and they throw them in jail. But God always has the last word. So the jailer, hearing this command from the magistrate, said, I want you to have these guys secure, and you better be responsible for them. So he puts them in the inner ward, and he puts them inside of there. My, there's Paul and Silas, and oh boy, you talking about having a pity party. They could have had a pity party. I ain't preaching no more. I done this in the name of Jesus, and I tell you what, they've run me down. They've talked about me. Oh, here's my hanky, honey. Cry, cry, cry. But that's not the kind of men these men were. They were caliber of real men of God. You imagine on the inside sitting there in their back beat, strips of meat hanging off of their back. Oh, Lord. But they begin to think, you know what? We ought to count it an honor that we've been identified. We ought to count it an honor that the demons out of hell consider us a threat on their kingdom. Oh, my. Who knows which one it was? But all of a sudden, one of them starts saying, who knows what they sung? I don't know, but let's say it was something like this. Well, I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm going to go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Rest of the folks in the present, why don't you guys shut up? What in the world have you done? We're preachers. Preachers, Boy, that'll go over good on your resume. They might have joined in again. They started, I don't want to get adjusted. And the Lord got so happy up in heaven. He started patting his foot. Heavens is his throne and the earth is his footstool. And the Lord got to patting his foot and joined in on the singing. I don't want to get adjusted. And the Lord started patting his foot down on the earth. And the old jail started shaking and rocking. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They had stood for Jesus. Now Jesus was standing for them. Let us look in Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. Now these men, their profession is exorcist. What a job. Now watch what they're going to do. So they get around this individual and they call. Notice the way Luke says this. To call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. So they are repeating what they've heard somebody else say. Now they're not in the name and they don't have the authority to use the name. But they're using the name as if it was an abracadabra. Abracadout. I command you to come out. They're going to find out the name of Jesus is not a magical potion. Now watch what they'd said. So they call over in the name of the Lord Jesus saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are ye? Amen. Now some of you that have come into such great light and truth and have left the message of Malachi 4, the invitation is still open. The invitation is open to see if the lunatic devils or epileptic devils or whatever kind of devils know you. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now you see what evil spirits do? They always make folks take their clothes off. Praise the Lord. Demonology for sure when folks go to stripping off their clothes in public. Yep, they go to stripping off their clothes in public, you know they're demon possessed. Woo! Preach, Brother Donnie, I'm going to. Now what? So here these men are moving into a realm that first of all they're not born into. They're not born into a supernatural element about which they're even called to do so. Even if they were children of God, doesn't mean that they'd necessarily have the ability to be able to do it. But here they're actually moving into it as if though they were practicing divination in another form. So they're going to use the name of Jesus and the Jesus that Paul preaches in the form of another form of witchcraft or a divining or a sorcerer. So they will use this name of Jesus and the identity of Paul whom he preached and will just form us another form of divination. So we will say these words in the name of the Lord Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now all this of course is secondhand. And this devil, you imagine, oh, he's fixing to have a time right now. I mean, this devil is grinning from ear to ear. This is going to be fun. I'm really going to enjoy this. I'm going to whoop these old boys like a red-headed stepchild. I'm going to wear them out. This is what I've been waiting for. You imagine after Paul wore them out and Peter wore them out and Jude wore them out and James wore them out. They love folks like this. They love impersonators. They love folks that thought they was in the truth, but really wasn't. So here they come up, and this demon lays real still and quiet. Man, they make the big challenge. I drew you. And the devil just laid real still. He let them say their magic words and their magic potions. And then superhuman strength doubled the power of this man's own strength. He leaped on them like a wild animal and began to shred their clothes. You imagine gnashing on them with their teeth and kicking and clawing and fighting seven of them. You imagine them old boys went to the house and said, what in the world have y'all been doing? I'm taking up another profession after this. Might be wise. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. It's amazing to me how these devils make such mistakes. You would think by experience that they would learn that there's certain things that they do that actually God will turn that thing into a blessing. But somehow it's like, you know, they're brain dead or something. They go, duh. They get freeze ups or something. Well, they don't realize. Don't you understand that God is going to work this out for his own good. Now, hear these things. Actually, this devil's having a heyday. He is really having a heyday. But what, in the retrospect, looking at it, what happens to it? Fear falls on all of these people. Because they realize it's not just saying the name. It's not just repeating the words. It's having something in you that must match what you're talking about. May we appear for just a little bit now. God created the realm of the supernatural, of course, before the foundation of the world. Created it in terms of what we would say dimensions. He made the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh dimension before the earth was created. These dimensions would be necessary for travel. They would be necessary for holding areas. They would be necessary for projections of the supernatural realm. So light, matter, time, science, the first four. Then the fifth one, there must be a holding place, God knowing before there was ever any unbelievers, knowing that there would be unbelievers. So there must be another dimension by which the unbelievers are held into, which is the fifth dimension. Then there is another dimension which the saints, there ain't no saints yet, but there will be saints later after the creation, where they will be held. That is the sixth dimension. Then, of course, the seventh is where God was himself. Now, God makes these dimensions, and through those dimensions, spirits, both good and evil, will be able to use those dimensions as access of travel. They will be able to use these dimensions into a way to where they will be able to permeate the people of their kingdom. Now, remember, nothing has fallen yet. There's no good or evil, but God creates these dimensions in the beginning. And he knows that time will evolve to where that it will come and there will be bad and good and there will be evil. There will be lost. There will be saved. So he creates all of this before anything has ever actually even happened. And then God allows and makes these spirit beings, both elect and non-elect angels, he makes them where they have access into this dimensional world, where they can travel. They can be able to move back and forth, unnoticed, unseen. Unless, of course, you would have someone who would have the ability. Now, can you imagine here before us today is light, matter, time, science, atoms, molecules, all these things are right here in the building. Images of people going on television, radioactive waves, gamma rays, all these lights and things are right through the building. Yet most of us us don't know it because we don't have the ability with the senses of our eyes. You know, we could blow a dog whistle, what they call a dog whistle here this morning, and it's such a frequency that the human being does not have the ability through our high pitch to be able to pick it up. Yet a dog and other animals, oh man, they just go crazy. And you and I say, what in the world is your problem? And you're sitting there blowing that whistle and it's not affecting you at all. Why? Because when God made you, He did not give you to where even your eyes could pick up all the spectrum and all the light rays. Or your ears, or certain decibels, we can only go down so low. Below that, we can't even hear it. Certain decibels that is so high on the other end of the spectrum, we can't hear it either. But God knows now that there will be a place by which angels and demons must travel. It could lay there for thousands and thousands of years, and man living on the earth would hardly know it even existed. Every now and then, he'd get a little bit of a glimpse of it. But what if God desired to open up that realm, and we'll say that God put a window into the realm of the supernatural. Then God would put an inlet into that, and somehow the window would be opened up, and that which had been a mystery form all of these thousands and thousands of years, all of a sudden would become a real moving world. And we would see it and know it by that window which was put there. I just described to you, Brother Branham. That's what a prophet is. A prophet is a window into the supernatural, or a window into dimensional travel. This is the way Moses, how in the world could Moses write about in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Moses wasn't there in the beginning. How in the world could Moses write down word by word what happened to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and all of that when Moses wasn't even nowhere around? How in the world could them prophets write things before the foundation of the world? How could Isaiah say those things? How could David say those things? Because a prophet was a window into the supernatural. So God wants to write the book of Genesis. And he simply opens up that gift, and Moses steps into dimensional travel. And once he moves over into dimensional travel, Moses can go, and it goes back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. How in the world could Moses write that word for word? Dimensional travel. So he's able to go back into those dimensions. What? In there, it's eternity. That's why a prophet could stand on the platform and say, I see you as a 7-year-old boy. I see you as a 25-year-old man. And then he'd jump up in the future, but don't worry, all's going to be well. So he's moving in that dimension. So we could see back here, 7 years old, 25 years old, present tense, 40 years ahead. In that dimension, just like that in seconds. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, in that realm, it's not only just good angels, not only just good things, but it is a world of travel. Listen to this. Sometimes these demons come out and go right out into these people. They just go from one to another. They follow meeting after meeting trying to get into the prayer line. Wow. So demons, now remember, this is a window. Now to you and I, this is, well, we don't know nothing about it. Brother Donnie, I want you to prove that to me. I want you to disprove it. Well, I choose not to believe it. I choose to believe it. Well, I don't believe it. Suits you. That's what you want. Suits yourself. But for me, I do believe it. Now, this world was here when Adam was here. It was here when Job was here. It was here when Jesus was here. But every now and then we'd get a glimpse. For whatever reason, God wanted this last age to have a view into the realm of the supernatural that had never been known in any days prior to this day. Now watch them, Brother Branham, having the ability to view and to peer into that realm. He says that these demons would travel from meeting to meeting, and they would actually want to get in the prayer line. So it wasn't just people wanting to get in the prayer line to be prayed for, but these demons actually couldn't wait for the prayer line to start. Why? Looking for folks to question, folks to doubt. I don't believe. And whenever they question, they walk right out with the demon. You imagine you walk in with a headache. You walk out with a cancer devil. You walk in with a headache. You walk in with your leg all swelled up and you walk out with TB because you stood right there and you opened up your being to unbelief and the devil was looking for it. You imagine in that realm now, in that realm of the supernatural, here they're looking and they're looking and they're looking for houses. You understand what this is? They are totally powerless. They are helpless without a house to live in. They've got to have a house. Many times demons has followed me into the room. And I have felt their flesh rubbing me. And bells and things would haunt me half the night nearly. Now look, children, I know this scares you. And you say, oh dear God, I'd die out. And don't worry, you ain't going to have to deal with this. You're not made to. Neither am I. We're just not made to deal with the Lord. God have mercy, I'd die. Don't worry, God ain't going to let you be exposed to something you can't handle. Right. God only needs one window like this in thousands of years, really. He don't even send something like this to every generation. Luther never experienced something like this. West Area Pentecost, they couldn't. It was not their time. Why would God open up this realm so much? Why would God open up this realm for the last days? To me, it's a reason. It's a reason for it. And it's not just the realm of demons. It's the realm of light. It's the realm of truth. It's the realm of angels. Amen. Oh, my. Notice he says, listen what Jesus said when the deaf spirit went out of the man. He could hear. Is that right? When the dumb spirit went out of the child, it could speak. Now he said, demons are helpless unless they are embodied. So then a deaf spirit that would have a hold of a child's eardrum or whatever it would be, and it would prevent that child from being able to hear, or even an adult. And yet if that devil was cast out, Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out. Then that energy which had been held off from being able to flow to the ear, it would now be released and the person would have the capability of hearing. So the doctor might look at it and say, so there's nothing we can do. We can do this and restructure that and do this, that and the other. And you understand that cancer surgery and what they do. If that demon is totally confided into the tumor and they go inside the body and say, oh my sir, you've got a tumor right there on your side. We're going to go in there. Hopefully we'll be able to get it all. And that's why whenever folks go and have surgery, we pray for them, because we pray God will help that surgeon to be able to get that out, right? And as long as that's in there, no seeds of that thing will come out. And the life of that thing stays inside of there. And God uses surgery. I thank God for it myself. And that life stays inside of there. When that doctor operates, he may think he's getting nothing but a bunch of mass of cells and growth. But we know if that demon stays inside of there, that demon comes right out with that growth. Does that demon die? He does not. He leaves that growth and he may leave that hospital. He might go down on another floor and he'll look for somebody that he can go into. Because they cannot do their work without being embodied. Oh, I wish you'd hear me today. The same way with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will never come down himself and preach the gospel. He'll never come down and cast out devils. As great as he is, as powerful as he is, he must be embodied in the church in order to carry out the gospel. He said, look at the demon act that met Jesus from Gadara. They said, suffer us to go into the swine without a body. Jesus said, go, and the swine went into fits that was in the maniac down into the sea, and they went and drowned in fits just like the man had. Now here we see these devils, once they left the legion as we looked at last night, they actually go inside the hogs, and the hogs start having these fits that these demons was causing this man to have. Why? They must have a body. So you say, well, did they choke to death? Of course not. Water does not choke to death a spirit. But once Jesus confined them to the hogs instead of to the abyss, had Jesus confined them to the abyss, they could have not tormented anybody else into the judgment. They would have been reserved right there. But he allowed them to go into the hogs. Once the hogs were choked to death, the devils went out of the hogs. Where were they? Started looking for other human beings to go into. Oh my. When demons has met me and I've spoke to them, not just some mythical makeup, or feel their power. I mean, talk face to face as I did with you. And I've tried this to be sure. And I've had them stand there and look. And I'd say, I don't mean some person possessed with a demon. I mean the form, outline of a demon standing there like a dark shadow speaking. Some of y'all's flesh is crawling right up your arm right now, hiding. And it would threaten me. And I'd say, you're wrong. And you know you're wrong. That's somebody that knows what they're talking about. Ain't it? For it's written in the scripture. And he'd stand there and I'd say, answer me. And he wouldn't answer me. And I'd say, in the name of the high heavens, answer me. And he wouldn't do it. I'd call all kinds of names. But whenever you name that name, Jesus Christ, he will answer. But only if you're in the name. Now remember them seven sons of Sceva, they also mentioned the name of Jesus. They got an answer all right. They packed in their body the scars of it for years. Oh my. Now what? You believe that he is here. What's this discernment? His presence is here. You believe that he's here. You got a cancerous condition. That man sitting right there has the same thing. Them demons are screaming one to another. You see, for pity, mercy, they're calling. And so's the angels of God calling. So all this is going on right there in front of the people. And the people have no idea. They might feel a sensation or a feeling or a strange peculiarity. And that's as far as they can go. But God cut out in the dimensions and stuck a prophetic gift in there. And then that gift would go to looking. And everywhere he looks, there's spirits there. There's spirits there. There's demons there. There's angels there. And he gives him also not only the sense of sight to be able to hear, but also spiritual hearing to where he can hear. So here's a person standing on the platform and they got a cancer. And all of a sudden he's standing there, the window being wide open into this fourth dimension, which is where diseases begin. In that fourth dimension. And he hears, ah! And he knows it in a human voice. He goes to looking. Oh, there it is. That demon screaming. What's he screaming for? Pity. Mercy. I may not have the ability to do this, but I do want it to be when I get up in the morning, they scream for pity. Don't you want to be that kind of child of God that Satan says, oh no. Oh no. Many of y'all roll out of the bed. Oh no. Another day and Satan's eating. I'm going to try to be a Christian. How many more days till church? Oh no, this is just Sunday. I'm going to try to live right till 11 o'clock. You think you all are laughing, you ought to hear them devils down in hell. They are having a time with you. Oh, Brother Donnie, do you roll out of the bed just kicking? No, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I fall out. Sometimes I feel like Carol pushed me out. She really didn't, but sometimes I feel like she pushed me out on the floor. But you know what? When I get up and stretch a little bit and go to calling on the name of the Lord, and maybe I've got a new ache and a new pain, and I know y'all laugh at that, but wait till you get my age. And you think about this, and you think about that kept you awake, and this, that, and other, and all of a sudden you begin together. You know, when I was a young boy, man, alive, I'd pop out of that bed. Within 5 seconds, I was wide open. Whew. Takes me a little bit longer now, and I'm not sure that I'm wide open, but I am going. You imagine what kind of children of God we could be if every day Satan checks and says, are they still here? Yeah. This is his demons reporting back in hell. Yeah, they're still there. Which one was you assigned to? Happy Valley. You mean you had to take on the whole church? One of them Holy Ghost filled sisters. That was all. That's all I had. You mean you took on Brother Donnie and all the ministry? No. I was assigned to one of them young people at Happy Valley. I was assigned to one of them young girls that was so full of the Holy Ghost. Time she got wore out. I'll tell you what, I'm wore out. I'm going to see if I can take a week vacation. In comes another. Where you come from, the White House? Shoot, no, man, he likes me. Right. was assigned to one of them young people over at Tim Burdett's church. And no, I ain't gonna tell you to have mercy on them. I'm gonna tell you slay them. Slay them. Make it hard on them. Make them pay. What's this in the healing line? You believe that that'll come off of your face, sir? God will let you get well. You do it sitting right there, that mother there. You believe it? It's screaming for mercy. Both of them. There's a pull. You've had an operation for yours. I see a hospital, a door open or something. There's surgery going on. Now, can you imagine a prophet of God standing there and this discernment's going on. This individual standing in front of him, this and setting down. And he's going back and forth in dimensional travel by vision. And he actually moves into a hospital. How would that feel? It must have been so strange and so different that your body's standing on the earth, but you are a window. So you move up and all of a sudden you go, and you're going to Minneapolis or you're going to Chicago or St. Paul or wherever. And there you are. You're back in this world and you're going back 47 years or 50 years and you're seeing this person as a child. And then all of a sudden, you're seeing them 15 years old. You're seeing them 85 years old. And you know they're going to be well because you see them out there in the future. Oh, glory to God. Brother Dale was telling me of a sermon this morning that he's looked at coming to church. Brother Bam called a person out and said, oh, I said, you've been prayed for before. And he looked around and said, oh, it was me. Imagine you are seeing the vision and you look and you see yourself and you see it on your side profile or something. All of a sudden you turn around and you look at yourself in the face and say, oh, hello. Oh, it was me. Amen. Oh, children, I would that God you'd be able to look in the vision of the bride. I would that God would be able to look in that word and look in that vision when I'm talking about the bride, when I'm talking about the left, and you look in there and say, hello, me. Hello, me. I'm coming to meet you, me. Yes, sir, I'll be there. You've had an operation. I see a hospital door opening up, something, surgery going on. Now you imagine he moves by vision right into the operating room. It was in the stomach or intestine. Wow. Now, let me ask you this. If you was a devil, would you be getting scared about right now? I mean, a man by vision that can look inside your guts and see you're having a surgery on your intestine. And if that devil was hid down underneath that bowel or your bladder, or that devil was laying hid underneath the stomach, and the doctor looked and looked and looked and couldn't find it, but all of a sudden here flops open this window, and the breeze of heaven comes through and carries his vision down through the body, down through, and there it is, raises up the bladder. Ha, I found you. Oh, yes, it formed a knot. Or something that has grown back. Now I imagine, brother, sister, about right now, that devil in this knot is really getting knotted up. That you imagine by vision, he's moving inside. God by vision is showing this prophet of God what's inside this person's body. This is before the days of MRIs. This is before the days of CT scan. Amen. It's a vision scan going on. It formed a knot or something has grown back in that place. Is that true? Is that true, sir? Now, you brethren, now, you got to be merciful to you. You believe me as a servant. You're both right now on the verge of being healed. See, I can't determine that. Now, watch. The vision stops after the knot. He can't say no more by vision. So all he can say is you're right on the verge. You're just about ready to move over. But I can't say if you're going to be healed or not. I can't determine that. I can only speak what I see. That's the truth. Oh. What's this? Your faith in God will make you well. If both of you in dying condition, only life can come through Christ who died in your stead. You have a wife that's in need of prayer too, don't you, brother? Yes, sir? You believe she'll be healed also of the tumors? You believe God will take it out of her. And then the window would come shut. And he would stand there and reel for a few minutes and say, was what he told you the truth? I don't know what he said. Was there something about you? I don't remember what he said. Don't you understand? It was not through the human spirit of memory. It bypassed memory. So that's why he'd be told in the dark. They'd have to play back the tape to let him hear it himself. Why? Because it was not using human memory. It was pulling me in that dimension and looking and peering down. Oh my, thank God. Now watch this. Just a moment. There's a demon in the audience screaming to this woman. On that woman right there, you have asthma, don't you, lady? You do too, don't you? Asthmatic. All right. Stand up to your feet. That's right. Stand up, lady, with the black coat on. That's right. Go home, both of you, now and be healed. God bless you. Go in Jesus' name. Let's say praise the Lord. All right. I felt that. Them demons calling one to another. Now, this is demonology in the physical realm. So what about demonology in the realm of the soul? Now, if all of these people which had been discerned were Christians and would have died and they were saved, their souls would have been saved, but their human life terminated. But what about in the realm of the souls when demonology moves to where demons can get people's souls and keep them to the last day they live on the earth, and in the last breath of their body, the demon still has possession of their soul? It is a possession forever. Lord, children. Look here, sister. You have stomach trouble. All you with stomach trouble, stand to your feet right now. Dear Lord. So one woman has stomach trouble. And you're going to make this challenge to everybody in the building who has it. Now, whenever you defectors can do 1,000th of this, let us know. You can come here and do it first. Those demons are screaming, pulling. Now watch this. They know their time's come. Oh my, they know their time's come. They know they can't get by with these things. They know their end is here. Now you imagine they were getting nervous and all tore up. So in that realm of the supernatural, they're screaming, screaming, begging, screaming, screaming. And no doubt he heard, as it was, a multitude of voices. Very peculiar that demons would be scared of a false prophet. That demons would be scared of a fabricator and a liar. Well, glory. I love smelling that fresh scent of fresh burnt devil hide, don't you? What's this one? Come, lady, you believe me to be his prophet? I do. I'm not this lady here, but I'm the elect lady. I do. You believe that God will reveal to me what's wrong with you? Every demon in the building is screaming for help. Every demon in the building. Everybody's got cancer. Stand to your feet. Here's the time to be healed. This woman's got cancer in a bad stage. Every person that's got cancer, stand to your feet and be healed at this time. Strange for a false prophet, isn't it? Of course, since he wasn't a false prophet, it wasn't strange at all. All right, come, lady, be reverent. Our Lord is here. Two demons are screaming to one another. Be reverent. Coming from this direction, something wrong with your back, isn't it? Is that right? You have two, didn't you? Stand up on your feet, ladies. You're both healed now. You can go home and be well. Jesus Christ, make you both well. Now, you think, dumb devil. So here this devil up here standing in front of the prophet of God with discernment, and he goes to screaming, help me! Help me! And he's looking over the audience. Well, he's a cancer devil or a bat devil or a TB devil. And he looks out there at his buddy devil. And a streak forms between devil A and devil B. And you imagine devil B saying, you dummy, now you just told him where I am. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You imagine when they get down in hell and just duke it out. You've done me that way in Zion, Illinois. Well, you've done me that way in Charlotte. Well, you've done me that way in Chicago. Expectation in Shawana, Wisconsin. Do you believe me to be its prophet? Then go eat your supper. Your stomach trouble will go away from you. And it won't bother you no more. You believe that? Then go do as I tell you. Now watch this connection. Quit worrying. Some of you need to take that quote right there, just them two words, and make it 24 feet by 24 feet. Cover your car. Cover your house. Totally recover your house with quit worrying. Make it your screensaver. Wear it as a phylactery upon your forehead. You're laughing, you know, you're laughing at me, but you're killing yourself. Oh my. Quit worrying like that. Be happy and rejoice. It's a peptic ulcer. Can't help it. Makes your food sour and everything else in your stomach. Wow. So all of a sudden the window flew open, runs down the esophagus, and boom, there it is. The light shined up on the stomach wall. Peptic ulcer hanging there. You imagine this deer in the headlight look. Except it was a peptic ulcer in the bright light look. Lord have mercy, children. Don't you see what the Word of God can do? If it can do that to our body, cannot that same Word open our hearts and open our lives? That's why when we come to church and sit under anointed men of God, it's like you feel like you're an open book. You are. You are an open book in front of Him. He can run a gift of God right down your line. He can run a gift of God in your closet. He can run a gift of God right in your basement, wherever you are, and put the light right on that thing. It's a peptic ulcer. Can't help it. Makes your food sour and everything else in your stomach and cramps you. It won't hurt you no more. Go on. Eat and be happy. My Lord, what two greater things can there be in life? Man, if you can eat and be happy, I'm talking about you're a happy camper. Apparently some of y'all ain't got a nervous stomach. You can't appreciate that. Oh, my. Oh, I wish God would take that to me. Let me tell you something. When I'm reading these things to you, if you'll open your heart, the same Lord God that spoke it through that prophet can quicken it to your heart this very day. I'm reading to you off the page and it's Logos. But if the Holy Ghost can take that quote and make it real to you and turn it into rhema, then that peptic ulcer in your stomach will leave too. Your nervousness will leave. Your anxiety will leave. Why? That same Word of God takes that Word and makes it alive. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Brother, coming with you. Watch now. This woman walks off the platform. A man comes up. Brother, coming with you comes a black spirit, which is death. Now, the people looking without dimensional vision, they don't see anything. But the window swung open. And he looks and sees a man, but he sees a shadow following everywhere the man goes. There's a lady sitting there also with cancer. Cancer on the pelvis bone. Is that right? I hear somebody, your name is Miss Roy Zook, Zeeks? Something like that? Wave your hand. That devil pulled him between you. It's off of both of you now. And it's light between you. Let me close. Let's stand together. I know it's hard to leave this dimension and come back down, but listen to this Paragraph 101 of the same message. Praise be to God. Satan lost that battle. Hallelujah. The devil calls to one another. They're screaming and calling for help. That's the reason I call for your prayer. Pray for me. Help. Keep praying. You see, it's a power. It's a battle. It's the devil's fight. Wrong fighting against right. Right against wrong. Quit being skeptic. Believe with all your heart. Be expecting you to be next. The Holy Spirit's healing all through the building. Be expectant to be next. What the outcome of that is, I know not. I know the thing left them. There was a dark streak between them. And this one was calling for mercy. Help! 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 Now listen what he was crying. Keep him from believing. Don't you understand what the move is of apostasy around this message? Religious demons. And they're crying out, keep them from believing the prophet. Keep them from believing the word. Keep them from believing. But God sent out a bunch of angels in this day. And they're saying, help them to believe. Help them to believe. Help them to believe. The window back now. We'll shut it until the next time. But remember that same God who had this great gift here is here today. Neither myself nor any other minister this day is going to have this kind of ability. That's one to a generation. But being anointed with our little small gifts, the Lord Jesus is saying the same thing to us today. Be ready. Be prepared. Get everything out of your life that's contrary to the Lord. Your attitude, your spirit, so you can be ready to leave. If God was so concerned about people's bodies that he would send these discernments thousands, times thousands, times thousands of them around the world, and their bodies, every one of these people are now dead. So was that discernment wasted? It was not. It was declaring the presence of Jesus Christ. How concerned is God about our souls today? Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, how we love you today. I pray you would help us as we took a little journey as it was, Father. Science knows there's a realm there. That's why they've made the films and television and all that through the years of traveling in space and traveling in time and time traveling and all that sort of thing. Lord, we're glad that we don't have to go to Hollywood to find their version. We can go here in the scripture, and then you send us a prophet in this day who has greater vindication, more of these events happening in his life than all the Old Testament prophets put together. A lot of these folks who've left the message, if they would leave after all these visions and all this, they could have never followed John the Baptist. They could have never followed Elijah, which had four miracles, and Elisha with eight. They'd been in a bad shape. They'd have been in a bad shape to try to follow some of these Old Testament prophets, which would only see two or three visions through their entire life. But God, we thank you, Lord. We have a heart to believe. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I bring the needs of these people to you today. No doubt there's folks with ulcers, with stomach problems, back problems, all kinds of things they're dealing with in their bodies, in their spirits, in their souls. I'm not a prophet, and I'm glad for that. I don't have the ability to peer into that dimension, as Brother Branham did, and I'm glad for that, because I couldn't handle it. What little bit I've been able to see, there's many things that you've shown me I wish I'd have never seen in the first place. But yet, Lord, most of us will never have to walk in that room, but we simply believe it's there. So we want to take what you have given us to work with. And we want to believe it with all of our hearts. So may you pass among us today, Lord Jesus. May you heal the sick. We believe that we still have authority by your word to cast out devils. To cast out evil spirits. May the presence of God. Lord, we don't want the people so much tried to work up into an emotional stir where it's just simply from their emotions that they feel something happened.
But from their faith, deep inside of their souls, may you touch each one today that has a need. Can we just raise our hands right now in His presence? Heavenly Father, as our hands are uplifted before you, you know each need, each request. Lord, I have needs in my life. Father God, I need your direction. I need your leading in my life and my ministry, Lord. How to preach, what to preach, what's in season. How to behave myself as a son of God. Help me, Lord Jesus. I have all these souls I have to answer for. Oh God, help me that I'll never tell them nothing but the truth. Help me, Lord Jesus, that I can project your life out of mine. That they won't see me, but they'll see and hear you. Oh, grant it, Lord God. We need you, Jesus. We're bombarded every day, Lord, with demons. Oh, but greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. May your healing virtue flow through this building today to these people. Grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Do you believe? Whatever you have need of, hold that request in your heart right now. If you got a stomach trouble, lay your hand on your stomach. You got an ear trouble, lay your hand on it. Eye trouble, lay your hand on it. Believe God. Believe God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. Father, may we be like that man last night. Where he said, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. If there's any fear, any failure, whatever it is, Lord, that would keep it from happening to us, we confess it to you today, our human weaknesses, that we can lay them aside, Lord Jesus. I believe. And then you turn and say, all things are possible to him that believeth. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. If we can have faith, say to this mountain and knock doubt in our hearts, be thou removed and cast into the sea. It should obey us. Grant it, Lord. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe that all things are possible. Lord, believe with me, Lord. Yes, Father God, that all things are possible. Lord, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Lord, Jesus is here. Our Lord Jesus. And all things are possible. Yes, Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just believe now, church. Simply believe for what you have need of. Thank you, Father God. All things are possible for Jesus. Now make it personal, Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord, I believe. My battles aren't too great, Lord. What I'm going through isn't too great for you to move, Father God. That all things are possible.
For Jesus is here. Jesus is here now.
Not you, not some other person. Jesus.
Oh, Jesus is here.
Thank you, my Lord Jesus.
Now all things are possible.
Oh, Lord God.
Jesus.
Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now I believe. And now. Lord Jesus, all things are possible. Now I believe. Oh, now, thank you, Lord. Oh, may your healing wings, as it were, flutter through the place today, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Things are possible. Now, let's sing it this way. Now I receive. Now I receive. Now I receive. What do you need? Receive it right now. Amen. Your faith will determine how the battle will go.
Now I
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, now I receive. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another weekend, the record books in heaven in a few moments will be closed. What I preached last night and today, I will answer for. For those that were here in the service last night and today, they will answer for their attitude toward it. Lord Jesus, we desire when those books are opened that day. I pray, Father, if I've said anything wrong that would be displeasing to you, you'd forgive me. Lord, you know the intent of my heart. I've never preached one sermon to try to deceive anybody. I love people. But I'm a human. I make mistakes. They're humans and they make mistakes in the way they receive. So for that, we know the blood of Jesus atones for our mistakes. Lord, may we take what we've heard. May we ruminate. May we think about it. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for this window to the supernatural. For myself, I'm glad I'm not called to see this world that our prophet lived in. But I am grateful that you had one among us that could tell us what was there. People can disbelieve it, discredit it, do whatever they want to do, and while they're discrediting and all that sort of thing, we're just sitting around crying and thanking God for it. What they ridicule and laugh at and make fun of, we read it and just cry and rejoice and just touches our hearts and sets us free and makes us happy, Lord. We're just so grateful for it. May you help us, Father, as we leave this place today, that we can be better children, walking in a more fulfilled position in the grace of God, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
Can you say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord willing, I have a couple of meetings scheduled in this next couple of weeks. Going to be down with Brother Homer Longoria, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday coming up. And then in Texas, Brother Tim Pruitt having a family camp there. Brother Ron Spencer and Brother Danny Steeman and myself will be preaching there the weekend after that. So certainly desire your prayers that the Lord will just help us and be there in the meetings. Amen. I love you so much. God bless you. Love one another. Pray for one another. Forgive one another. Behave as little children of God.
that what your desire is, I trust? Let's sing together. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Amen. I want to be there with all of my heart. All of my heart. Let's sing it together. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air. And that sweet, sweet vibe.